listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, March 11th, and the year is 2024, in case you forgot or you're not from this planet, if you just arrived. The year is 2024, and this is the day after the Oscars. We have a very special guest in the studio, and her name is Jamie Wright. Welcome to the show, Jamie.
Good morning, and thank you so much, Sam, for having
me. Of course. Thank you for coming. And Jamie's an attorney, and we're going to talk to her about her and what she does and everything. I wanted to bring up the Oscars. Did you watch them last night by any chance?
I didn't.
You didn't, huh?
No. Yeah.
Well, Oppenheimer took most of the awards, which people predicted. It was a good movie, you know, but did you get to see it at all?
I didn't, but I'm not surprised that it took that many awards at the Oscars.
Yeah. I just, it wasn't what I expected as far as the movie, you know. I was hoping for something else, a little more action. But they spent most of it investigating whether he was part of the Communist Party or not, you know, back in the 40s. So so I don't know, you know. I mean, people found it great. And, I mean, the acting was great, you know, Robert Downey Jr. and Matt Damon and so forth. But you know, it was a different kind of movie for sure. And then we had Best Actor, of course, Cillian Murphy from Oppenheimer. And Best Actress was actually Emma Stone with Poor Things, which is a weird movie. You know, I haven't seen it. I tried to watch it on TV, but it was too too weird for me. So,
Well, they say that we're all living in the Oppenheimer world. So
yeah, you know, yeah. And let's see. Best Director, Christopher Nolan, who did Oppenheimer as well. So there you go, and Best Picture as well. So it was a pretty cool show. A couple of things that stood out was the actor John Cena came in naked completely, only covered with an envelope, and that was a little weird. But, yeah, you know, and mostly it was nice and kept they kept it decent and moving fast and stuff. So,
well, that's
that
good.
Was cool. Yeah, yeah. So, how you doing, Jamie?
I'm doing good. You know, living the dream as best as I can.
Really? So you're living your dream. That's cool.
I think so.
How long have you been an attorney?
Oh, this is my 15th year.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you've been doing it for a while now.
Yeah, I'm a seasoned pro, they say.
Oh, okay. Where is your practice located?
It's in West L.A.
West L.A.?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, get closer to the mic.
Sorry, it's West L.A., yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. And, guys, if you hear a little noise in the background, Jamie brought her very cute son here, and he's going to watch some iPad. But if he joins the conversation, don't be alarmed. It's just another person in the studio.
Life of a single mom.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. It happens.
Yeah. Where did you grow up? Here in L.A.?
I am. I'm from Culver City. That's
really?
Where I was born and raised. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah. So you're a native L.A.
Mm-hmm. One of the unicorns, as they call us unicorns, because you don't meet us that often. You meet mostly transplants that are.
That's true. Is that what they call natives?
The unicorns. Really? I call them unicorns because it's rare that you meet us. You know, mostly transplants that are taking on the L.A. vibe. You
that's
know?
True, yeah. Not many people were born here, although there's 4 million people in this town,
exactly,
you know.
Exactly.
But everybody pretty much comes to Hollywood to make it.
You know? They say.
Yeah. So if you guys think of coming to Hollywood, you're welcome, but you got to get in line because there's a huge line for people who are trying to succeed big time in acting and casting and in music and TV and all these things.
Production,
you know?
So, everything, yeah. Only so, fans.
Yeah. But that you can do from anywhere in the world, right?
Yeah, but they apparently they think they have to come here to do it
really?
In a specific way. That's neither here nor there. I'm going to be quiet now.
Yeah. That's okay. Do you specialize in anything
yeah.
in your practice?
Labor and employment, and also I do some traumatic brain injuries and wrongful death cases. Just depends, but mostly labor and employment.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. And where did you go to school?
UC Berkeley.
Oh, really?
Undergrad and grad. And then it is now called the University of California, San Francisco, formerly known as Hastings. To be politically correct, the board of directors changed the name because Hastings was a racist, they said. So
really?
That's why I went to law school. Yeah.
But it's not called Berkeley anymore?
Yeah, Hastings, the law school. But it's UC Berkeley.
Oh, the law school.
The law school has changed its name. So it's University of California, San Francisco.
I see. Yeah. Got it.
Mm-hmm.
But the University of California, San Francisco, isn't that a different school?
For the medical
school. For undergrad.
School. For the medical school.
Oh.
And then for the law school, it's San Francisco.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, they
okay.
changed the name, yeah.
Really? That's interesting, yeah. You know, because I didn't realize that. Yeah, Berkeley in the 60s was a totally different place.
Oh, it was a totally different place. It was the center of liberal
right.
movements and...
Anti-Vietnam, anti-everything, pretty
yeah,
much.
Very much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's still a different place, you know, when
right.
I was there and even now.
Yeah.
So...
I know, they still don't allow certain speakers to come on board there,
no,
you know.
No.
And I think that's a problem with universities,
yeah.
you know. I mean, I don't think they should take a stand, political stands and things like that, you know, but they do... And sometimes they're on the wrong side, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
So it's you know, it's pretty much, I mean, now they're talking about it. I don't want to bring up politics too much. But yeah, I'm pretty disappointed with the way things are going, you know, in, right now in education, you know?
Yeah, education should be a seat of ideas and sharing of ideas, not
right.
you know, formed one way or the other, and everyone should have an opportunity to speak as long as you're not inciting violence.
Yeah, exactly.
As long as you're not
well,
inciting
incitement
violence.
Is against the Constitution,
yeah,
obviously,
yeah.
but freedom of speech is there,
yeah,
you know, and
exactly.
people should be able to express themselves and
their
opinions, even if they're not popular, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
And you know, I was reading a little bit about the Constitution and how things developed, and the thing is, freedom of speech. Is the reason we're not a democracy here is because things are not necessarily the majority rules, you
right.
know, because there are things that keep rights for minorities as well, you know, for
mm-hmm.
minority groups.
Mm-hmm.
So to protect them, you know.
Correct.
So freedom of speech is given the opportunity to everyone to express their views, even if we don't agree with
absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely.
You know?
And we should be able to agree to disagree.
Right. You know, and now, you know, now the government is trying to change things. I don't know, you know, from every direction, there's like things happening, and I don't know what's going to happen, you know.
It's definitely, see, you know, I think about, you know, my son who's sitting here in the studio and what world he's going to live in.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know.
That worries me, you know,
yeah.
especially with AI now, you know.
Where you,
you know?
Can have a whole conversation that's not happening via text message with AI generated. Yeah,
right.
it's interesting. And images,
yeah.
and you can take someone's image and put them in a compromising position, and it's not them, and then and tout that as
exactly,
being
yeah.
Yeah.
And you'll probably get a lot of work from that eventually, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Of
oh,
people
yeah.
that are, you know, hurt by this and
well,
things like that, you know. I just,
yeah.
I think if we put the control with the machines, we're gonna have a problem, you know.
Absolutely.
And
it'll be interesting to see if that's defamation. If
yeah.
I take your image and generate it with AI and put you in a compromising position, I'm clearly
right.
being malicious.
Right.
That's defamatory. And if it causes me some loss, well then
right.
I have a lawsuit.
Or they'll make like new laws that,
yeah.
that apply to that,
yeah.
you know, and whatever it is. But it's yeah, it's dangerous, you know, because like you said, people can put you out there. It's not even you. And I saw a picture of a few pictures somebody created of Trump and Biden sitting together in the same room, you know, breaking bread together, hugging each other, things like that. And it looks real,
mm-hmm.
you know, it looks real. And you go, what the hell, you know,
exactly.
it's unbelievable
exactly
what they can do. So that scares me as far as the young generations. I mean, there's a lot of other things to worry about, you know, but the world has changed quite a bit, you know, since we were young.
It has.
You know?
It has.
And I even picked up the book by Dr. Phil. I'm not a big fan of his, but he came out with a book called We Have Issues.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about how society and culture has changed so much, you know, that we have to be on guard all the time
mm-hmm.
as far as to how it influences us, you
yeah,
know?
That's right.
And to be able to actually think for yourself. And you know, and not let all these forces pull you in opposite directions, because there's too much radicalism and extreme opinions right now.
On both right? sides.
On both sides.
Yeah.
On
yeah.
both sides. And everybody's
yeah.
pulling in different directions.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're seeing is people, instead of governing, they're too busy with revenge and, you know, and getting at each other or succeeding politically that they don't really care about us, you know?
No,
and that's not the way it's always been, you know? I mean, it used to be different. I know I remember the parties used to work together. I mean, there were always opposite ideologies, you know, but in this country, you're supposed to work together, you know?
Yeah, we've lost sight of that.
Yeah, for the good of everybody, you know?
We stopped focusing on altruism and we've become embedded in our individual positions without ever taking the time to think about what is happening on the outside of our world and our thoughts.
And we do it in personal lives, too. We're too busy, like, talking that we're not listening to the other side, you know? And that's not good because that's not communication, you know?
No.
And if you can't communicate, you've got problems, you know?
Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you do for a living if you can't communicate?
Yeah, exactly.
Everything requires it, yeah.
Yeah. So what did you do for undergrad? Pre-law, pretty much?
Political science and history.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is right up your alley, all these conversations.
Absolutely, right up my alley.
Yeah. Very cool. So did this always interest you when you were young?
No, I actually wanted to be a forensic scientist when I was younger. I was pre-med initially. And then I'm one of the people that organic chemistry 3A weeded out.
Uh-huh.
And they ended up falling in love with history. And so that's how I ended up in this profession. And to my dad's credit, who was a disabled veteran and also a pastor, he used to take me and sit me in the back of the courtroom when I was young.
Oh,
and
really?
I used to watch the criminal trials.
Yeah, so that would get you into it, huh?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never sat in the court, but, you know, my dad used to do that sometimes for fun.
Mm-hmm.
He'd just go, after he retired and stuff, he'd just go and sit in on trials and things like that.
Yeah,
and
listen.
Small claims and things like that, you know. And he said it was very interesting, you know.
Is.
I mean, being in court is interesting. You you spend time in court too, right?
Oh, yeah, I try cases. That's what I do. I'm not just a paper pusher. I actually get into court and I try the cases.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the things you deal with as far as employment and that sort of thing?
Sexual harassment, disability discrimination, race discrimination, wage and hour claims. Those are the big ones.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of this going on?
You would be surprised the extreme nature of employers in California and some of the stuff that they do to their employees.
Really?
In 2024, in 2023, in 2022.
Wow.
It has not evened up, no.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's worrisome, you know?
It is very worrisome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So some people really don't get a fair, like their voice at work, right?
No, they don't, and they're scared.
So what are some of the things, I mean, like, like sexual harassment, for example, I don't believe it still exists, you know?
Oh, yes, it does.
It's big unbelievable,
time.
You know?
Yeah, I have a client now who the employer was asking him how many times he'd had sex in the last year, female supervisor, how many had sex in the last year.
Wow.
How many partners he had, you know, he needed to get out there and sleep with more women the whole nine yards.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
She told him that?
Oh, yes, she did. She went there, yeah.
Wow.
A dealership in the Bay Area. And this stuff is happening really frequently in the Bay Area, which is interesting.
Really?
Yeah, I have a lot of cases in the Bay Area. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty liberal sexually there. Maybe that's why, you know?
I don't know.
Do all kinds of things.
But clearly, they don't have a good understanding of the law. So
I know. My son went to school in San Francisco, and he said, there's a lot of that going on, like sexual stuff, you know? And
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think they beat us as far as that goes.
Maybe.
Yeah. So you were there. So you went to school, obviously, more than 15 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So San Francisco was still a beautiful place.
Some parts
of it.
Some parts of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now it's like your son's here. I don't want to say it, but a poop hole.
It is. It's turned into that because of some concerns with the leadership in the city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's been run down by crime and homeless and this. And you know what? It occurred to me the other day that back then, everybody loved San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
I never met one person that did not like San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's a different thing altogether.
Businesses
you know?
Are leaving there in droves.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Because of, you know, the lack of leadership, unfortunately. I think they just haven't done a good job of balancing you know, being tough on crime and also making sure that, you know, those who are impoverished to have a voice. You have to have a, you have to strike a careful balance.
Right. And you got to get people out there to vote, you know.
Got
to
be.
And that's what happens. Yeah. Sometimes the people that need it the most do not go out and vote, you know.
They're disenfranchised all around.
Yeah. You know, I mean, this past election last week, only about 30% of people in California actually went to the polls.
Yeah, I read that.
You know?
Why is it so low?
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I feel I have to go because if I don't... First of all, it's a privilege to be able to vote. You know, there's many people in the world that don't get this right, and they suffer because of it. You know,
yeah.
And here we have this opportunity to choose our leaders, and I mean, sometimes your voice is not doesn't really count, but still, you got to do it because afterwards you can't really complain if you didn't really choose anybody. You know,
exactly. And, but you're from a generation that believes in that. I'm from I'm a millennial, but I'm an older millennial.
Right.
The next generation is not motivated. They're not engaged. They think that the politicians are self-serving, and they're just not speaking to them in their voice where they need to be reached. And that's a problem. You got to speak to them in their language.
Right. Yeah. And these are our future leaders. Yeah. You know, it makes you wonder what's going to happen. You know, because there's a lot of people that are. I don't know. It's like I'm not making generalizations, but they're talking about the younger generation, like Gen Z or something, mm-hmm. you know, where they're not that motivated, you know. And I mean, like after the pandemic, a lot of people lost interest in going to work, right?
Yeah, they want to work from home or they want to collect unemployment and, you know.
I know.
And be an influencer.
Yeah. You know, and they complain when they ask them to come to the office. It's like, what do you mean? You know, I mean, you work here, you got to come in, you know. Yeah. You can't just, you know, stay at home and do whatever you want, you
to
know.
To be fair, all of my staff is remote and it doesn't bother me, but that's me. Yeah, I don't mind it. Yeah.
You don't mind them not coming to the office?
No, huh? I don't. I mean, the work gets done and they work, you know, they work the hours that I need them to work. And, you know, if I felt like it was a problem, then maybe I changed my mind. But, you know, I don't.
Yeah.
And I'm not spending money on overhead.
Yeah, it reduces your costs and stuff, right?
You know?
You don't need to have water and office stuff and expenses and things like that.
No. And we do good work.
Yeah. How many people work for you?
Three.
Three people?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you're a pretty decent team.
Oh, yeah. I have a pretty decent team. Yeah.
Wow. Are they attorneys too, or are they like paralegals, or what are they?
One is my main paralegal that's been doing it 40 years. Two of them are lawyers in other countries. So I have two out of Venezuela, and then one that's in Colombia. Remote workers that are lawyers that serve as paralegals / case managers. Yeah,
I see. Okay, so they're over there in different countries, but they do law in the United States.
Well,
they
we've trained them, so they're through a company, and you know they're taught on how to run my system, file the documents, send out letters, do shales and pleadings, and all that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's interesting. So, why did you decide to go that way? I mean, you couldn't find the right people here?
It's hard.
Really?
Yeah, sourcing for good work, you know. I'd love to pay somebody the amount that they're asking for, but they have to also produce. I need someone who's going to produce I need to produce.
That's true.
So it's the value add that they give me. And they're Spanish speakers, and I have a lot of Spanish speaking clients.
Oh, okay. So that helps.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... What are some of the, I mean, we talked about sexual harassment and stuff like that. What are some of the other things? You said like racial discrimination, there's that too, huh?
Yeah, race discrimination, disability discrimination, wage and hour violations, pregnancy is a big one.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So they don't compensate them to, or don't give them maternity leave, right?
They won't accommodate them. I have a client right now. Who, when she told her supervisor she was pregnant, they said to her, "We don't believe that this is your pregnancy test. This could be something you pulled off the internet."
Really?
Yeah. And then she notified them she was going to take the disability leave 1 month before she went on leave, or maybe even 2 weeks. I got to look at the timeline again. They terminated her.
Really?
Yeah. They didn't want to give her the leave.
Wow.
Yeah. So it happens.
And you want to tell me they don't know they're exposing themselves to legal
problems? They don't. Sometimes they don't care. Sometimes it's the insurance. Sometimes it's just they figure the person's not going to take action. It's a whole variety of reasons why they do what they do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why did you decide to get into that line of law?
Well, when I did defense, because I used to represent these corporations and companies, it was just kind of a are pulling on my soul. And sometimes I still represent small businesses who just don't know, right? Because they don't know because they don't have counsel. Right. But when it was bigger corporations, there was a tug of war at my soul. And then when I had my son, at the time, his dad said, you know, you really could be a great plaintiff's lawyer and do this, you know, on the opposite side and do good work. And he kind of pushed me into it. And he said, you'll feel more fulfilled. And he was right. I do feel more fulfilled.
You're helping people, you know.
Exactly.
The weak.
Yes.
You're helping the weak more, exactly. You know, the ones that have no voice or, you know, because a corporation obviously is much stronger than an individual, you know,
exactly.
And they try to get away with all kinds of things.
And they oftentimes do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Even big corporations that have reputation and to uphold and all
You'd
that.
You'd be surprised. And these government entities, I mean, they are some of the worst offenders.
Really?
Oftentimes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, the government.
Oh, yeah. Government
really?
Entities. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So do you deal usually with directly with the employers or sometimes just with their insurance companies? Because you mentioned insurance.
Well, the employer has to approve any settlement and then the insurance kicks in and pays for it.
Right.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. So they have insurance for those kind of things, right?
Not the government entities, but the private entities do. Most of them do. They have an employment practices liability insurance.
Right. Because they know they're probably going to do something wrong.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Especially if they have over a number of employees.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting, you know. So people come to you if they have these kind of problems, they come to you. You guys can check out Jamie at jamiewrightesq.com.
Yes.
And that's your website.
Yes.
And so you practice in L.A. Do you take clients from out of town, too?
Oh, yeah. I have clients in Sacramento and San Francisco. I have clients in Oakland. I have clients in Texas and coming up one in Florida.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm all over the place. I deal with local counsel when it's out of the state.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because you can't really do anything when you don't practice or you don't have a license in that particular state. You can't practice there.
Yeah.
So you have to work with other people.
Yeah, they help me get admitted there.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So it's like you sort of work through them as far as trial.
And then it would be through them and I'm admitted for a special purpose.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So, what was school like for you? I mean, you went there when, in the 90s?
No, in the 2000s.
In the 2000s, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm sorry, you're young. You're young still. Sometimes
2000s.
I think everybody's with the same generation
as
me. You know?
In the 2000s.
In the 2000s, yeah.
School was great. I mean, I had a great experience at UC Berkeley, and I had a good experience overall living in the Bay Area. It gave me a lot of independence. It taught me to critically think, independent think. And also it tested my boundaries on ethics and morals and what I was willing to do and what I was not willing to do.
Right.
Yeah.
So were your family, did they have any legal background at all?
My dad is a disabled veteran and him and his brother used to own a legal services business where they would file documents.
Oh.
But that was it. I mean, that was the extent of it. So nobody in my family is a lawyer.
Right. But your dad sort of influenced you. Yeah. Did he direct you?
Yeah, he did. He had a massive influence on me.
Yeah.
It was just motivating me.
I guess he knew, you know, if you get into law, you're pretty much set for life, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's very cool, you know. You don't see many people that are ambitious like this because, I mean, law school takes a commitment, right?
It takes a commitment, and then to run a business takes a commitment because when I started my practice, you know, I had to think about, you know, my budget and, you know, how I'm going to finance my staff and, you know, how I'm going to do marketing. And there were so many pieces of it that went into it, you know,
right.
So it's a lot that goes into these things.
Right. How many years does it take? To become a lawyer, is it like 4 years? I mean, four additional years?
No, it's 3 years of law school.
3 years of law school.
Yeah, and then you sit for the bar exam, and then, you know, you go to, you know, practice depending on where you end up. If you go to the DA, or you go to big law, or you clerk, or you start your own practice right out of school. I wouldn't have been ready to do that.
No.
Blessings to those who do.
So did you start your practice right away, after school?
No, I did.
So you went to work for another company and stuff.
Yeah.
What was that like? Did you work for a big company?
I did. I worked at BidLaw. You know, when you are a woman of color in those places, there's some really interesting dynamics that happen there. They don't come out right and say, like, you're different. But they ask you things like, are you happy here? You know,
really?
Do you want to be here? You know, it's certain rhetoric that they use that is challenging. And then, you know, now that I'm on the outside and I'm defending my clients against these same firms and I'm looking at the work product, I'm like, I can't help but equate most of what I experienced when I was there to my gender and my race, because I'm looking at the work product that's coming from the lawyers there.
Yeah.
And it's garbage. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's, what else could it possibly be?
Right.
Yeah.
So the battle is twice as hard.
It is.
Right?
It is. It's a twice as hard battle. And, you know, I changed my image and who I was so many times. At a certain point, I looked in the mirror and I was like, who is Jamie at this point? And, you know, now I don't have to do that. I'm like, this is just who I am. Deal with it.
Yeah.
It's my practice and I'm good at what I do. So I don't need to justify my existence in a place. I can just be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to try to fit in or anything. Today, you're the boss. You decide.
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
And you make the
exactly.
Decisions. Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. You also said you do personal injury, like...
Traumatic brain injury.
Traumatic
so when someone
brain
has
injury.
A brain injury, they've been injured, and next thing there's an injury, I do those as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, that's scary.
Yeah,
huh?
It is, but it happens more often than not. Someone can have an injury, and it could cause permanent damage, you know, even a mild TBI from an auto accident, depending on how they're hit.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's usually from auto accidents that these things
or
happen?
Bus accidents. If someone's on a bike, you know, someone can be hit in a crosswalk. It's all kinds of things that can happen.
Yeah. The people sometimes just fall or trip or something.
Sometimes they trip and fall, and it can happen in a grocery store.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's scary, you know? I mean, I'm thinking, it's usually probably other people, their family or something, their close ones who have to bring... To come to you, right?
Yeah, or them, depending on if they're capable or not.
Right.
But the family is usually involved if we go to trial to tell the story about what they were before and after the accident, right. You know? Yeah.
But so what kind of injury will leave you still being able to function and stuff? I mean, so...
Most people can function with a traumatic brain injury, just depending
really?
On the type.
I see.
If it's severe, if it's mild, it just depends.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah, that scares me. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I had a stroke a few years ago, and I came out like unscathed. You know, where many people, you know, do have brain damage, and they die sometimes and stuff. And I felt so fortunate, you know. And I thought, how awful it has to be to live with brain injury.
Exactly.
You know, it's like you have to depend on other people to do things for you, and sometimes you don't even know what's going on with you, right?
Yeah, and it can impact your vision, your hearing, your fine motor skills. It impacts so many parts of your body depending on the brain, the side of the part of the brain that's injured,
Right. Yeah. So you had to study a lot about the brain and all that, right?
Yeah, you use your experts. Your experts tell you everything you need to know about the brain. And then I have a model brain at home, in a chart, so yeah.
And what appealed to you about this this line?
The science. And, you know, I remember I said I wanted to be a pre-med at first when I was at Cal, so I've always love the math and the science and the medicine. I just don't do that for a living.
Right.
So that's what interested me in that aspect of it.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of work in that. Probably,
it is a lot of work.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's okay, and I like it. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Do you find when you go to court, do you feel discrimination there?
I've been mistaken for the court reporter. They asked me where the client is, and I'm like, I'm not the client. I'm like, I'm the lawyer. I'm here. I don't get it as much now, but you definitely experience it in some counties more than others.
Yeah.
I will tell you that. Some counties are pretty egregious about how they feel towards not only people of color, but also out of towners. They want to hometown you with some of their local rules. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, amongst my peers, we always talk about the hometowning with the local rules.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And then as a woman, you have to also work extra hard to prove yourself to other people, which sucks, you know?
Prove yourself, I mean, plus the balancing out act of parenting. And, I mean, I'm here with a small kid now, and that was a whole ordeal, getting him out the house, making sure he's, staying quiet as best as I possibly can, and keeping a schedule, you know?
Yeah.
And if I go off my schedule, you know, adjusting, like I'm sitting here handing him gum while I'm talking to you just to keep him quiet.
Yeah, so, he's still young.
Yeah.
Do you send him to school?
Yes. Yeah. He goes to a community Christian academy over near us, and next year he's going to another school. So when he turned 4, he was able to go to school since he's 4 now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow, he's a big boy, huh?
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Yeah. What's his name?
His name is Brian.
Hi, Brian. You enjoying yourself here? He lost interest in his iPad. Now he's like interested in the interview.
Exactly,
here, you know.
Exactly. It's a delicate balancing act. You know, I don't think people realize how much goes into 24 hours in a day of running a business, being a mom, and then trying to drink water and eat food.
Yeah, that's true. and make food for the family.
And then, like, your emotional, your emotional and your mental health.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot.
You give so much of yourself, you know, how much of you is left for you, right?
And then, you know, trying to find people who pour back into you. It's delicate.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Are you an only child? Do you have
siblings? No, I have a sibling. My brother is a professor at FSU. He teaches graduate students in the Askew School of Public Policy. Yeah.
That's in Florida, Florida State.
Yeah, Florida State. And he's married, and they have a 17-month-old son.
Really?
Yeah.
So they live in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Do they like it there?
Their quality of life is great.
Really?
Yeah, their quality of life is great.
I know. So many people are moving from California to Florida, you know, which is amazing. We went to Miami a few months ago, last year, I guess. And it was a very pleasant experience, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
I love Miami.
Yeah,
I love Miami. It's such a great place.
There's so much culture there and
so
everything,
much
you
culture.
Know. So many people.
So much fun too. It's just a fun city. Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
It is. You know, we went to South Beach and stuff, and it turned out to be right during a spring break.
Oh.
So there was there was even shootings there and stuff. So this year they've really limited the people that come into town. They put in all these new laws and everything, and almost trying to keep people away from coming there.
Yeah, because they don't want to deal with the crime.
Yeah, I know, I know. And people bring all this trouble with them, you know.
Oh, they do.
All these young college kids, you know.
They do, yeah.
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 Very cool.
Yeah.
Are your parents still around?
They are. My mom and dad are married, and they've been married 42 years, and they live in Culver City, and they're both retired.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You're very lucky.
I'm blessed.
I had my parents till a later age, too, you know, but now it's hard. You know, they both passed a few years ago, and you miss them, you know. I mean, it's like I never realized what I'd feel like when they're gone, but the feeling I have is sort of like I'm going to see them again. You know, it's like
absolutely.
They're just gone, and
they're,
you know, because
in this form.
Yeah, because I sort of got used to being far from them because they lived in Israel for a while, and then they came here and everything. So it was always like, oh, I'm going to see them next year or something.
Absolutely.
You know, and now you feel like, well, I'll see them soon. Yeah. You know, but. Yeah. It's not like that.
You have a good optimistic view on it. You know, I just always think when people transition from this life to the next, I'll see them in another form and in another life. And that's how I kind of cope.
Yeah, that, I know. You know. I know. Yeah. That's how, you know, that's, I think that's why religion started. Is people needed some kind of, you know, to be counseled for
death.
You know, to deal with death.
And the struggles of life, because this life is hard, man.
Yeah.
Some of the things that we experience, I'm like, really?
I know. Some of the things that people go through, you know, I mean, we're probably pretty fortunate compared to some other people,
Absolutely.
That have to really struggle through life.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I mean, it's...
And people are looking for the why.
Right.
And faith gives you the answer.
Right.
And it gives you purpose, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I wanted to ask you more about your practice and everything. So when you go to court, do you have to have another person with you, like from your team, or are you usually by yourself? Like,
it depends on what I'm appearing for. If I'm appearing for like just a status conference or some kind of hearing, I don't have to. But if I'm going to trial, there's usually somebody else from my team.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you need... You know, more than one brain in the area, right?
Awesome. Yeah, yeah.
It helps you sort of like support and things like that.
Yeah,
right?
When you have a trial, you have more than one person. You know, we're in an age where we're still remote, so I very rarely go into court. It's usually court call, Zoom appearances, especially for my cases that are in other counties. I'm not going to drive to or fly up to Sacramento every time I need to make an appearance.
Right.
I'm going to appear via Zoom.
I see. Okay, and you can actually do that?
Yep.
Wow.
Almost every county.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I appeared in San Benito County 2 weeks ago, and it was via Zoom for government.
Oh, wow. But does the client have to be in the
No, they don't have to be there either? No, the only time the client has to appear is for a deposition or if we go to trial.
Yeah.
Or mediation, yeah.
Yeah. Just watch for the water that he doesn't spill it or anything. We got electronic equipment here and stuff.
Yeah, we don't want to spill.
He's smiling now. He's like feeling at home now.
Yeah, getting comfortable.
He was very shy when he came in, which is normal. Kids are usually like that. Wow. So that's interesting. I didn't realize that, that you don't actually have to be there. You know?
Yeah, you don't have to be there. You can appear remotely.
Wow, very cool.
Which is good, a blessing.
Yeah,
because I have cases everywhere, so to not have to go to Oakland each time I have to do an appearance to Sacramento, or drive to San Bernardino County every time I need to do an appearance is great.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. And this probably started since the pandemic, right?
It started before, but really post-pandemic.
I see, okay, Because before that, people didn't think about, today people are lazy. It's like, I'm not saying you, because if you have to drive to another city, it's a whole different thing. But,
exactly.
You know, people, I don't know. It's just like sometimes, we have people that do shows here, and sometimes they're just like too lazy to come in. Some people are.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, come on, man.
Just come on in.
Yeah. You know, you meet people, you see people. Yeah. It's a social thing, you know.
Tell your next viewers that if I could come in here with a child who had bronchitis last week, who was getting over and who could figure out how to keep him at least remotely quiet on a Monday morning and be here prior to 10 a.m., they can certainly bring themselves in here next time.
Be careful there.
All right.
What is he watching there?
Let's see. I think he's watching. He likes this little boy named Ryan who has a show. I need to start him a YouTube show and make him some money for his college. Yeah. It looks like these kids are making millions of dollars on YouTube.
Yeah, be careful. Yeah. Be careful with that. Yeah.
Help him contribute to his college fund. Start a YouTube channel just for him. So he all this stuff and somebody will watch it. He'll get millions of views just doing this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Putting gum in water or putting crayons in water.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Good anything. Idea.
Yeah,
huh?
It's definitely. Yeah. Yes, it is. So,
what happens when someone needs help and they can't really afford you? What do they have some kind of... Do you provide them with some kind of assistance and things like that?
So
how does that work?
I do 30-minute consults that are typically free, 15 to 30 minutes. And then from there, I suggest that they contact sometimes the law library. The law library will give them assistance. There's the court has like free help for people doing family law forms. Also legal aid if you're low income.
I see.
Yeah, those are the areas that they can. I mean, my cases are typically taken on contingency.
Yeah.
So they don't pay
I'm
anything.
I'm sitting on the edge of my seat here. I'm afraid about the water there.
Okay, so just chill with the water, okay, kiddo?
Yeah, don't open it.
Please. Okay.
We only have about 5 minutes, so be patient.
Good. Yeah. This is actually pretty good considering he's 4.
That's true, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
They really need a lot of stimulation.
All the
time,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so... anyway, so that's what I typically have them do. I have them refer to legal aid.
Right. Yeah. And where do they get the legal aid from?
Legalaid.com. LA has a legal aid. Oftentimes, like I know La Raza has a legal aid.
So it's from the city? The city provides that?
They're nonprofit organizations that provide free legal aid.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're nonprofits that give them that. And then.
And how do they get their money? They raise funds?
People donate. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you hear people, so you don't have an excuse not to go to Jamie, because if you're having a problem at work, injury as well, brain injury and stuff, this is your place to go, obviously. Yeah, yeah. You know what you're doing, right?
Yeah, I do. I've been doing it long enough to know quite well. And I do a delicate balancing act in all things. I've been really focused on you and these questions while also digging in my purse, pulling out gum, and keeping a tablet quiet.
Multitasking
and doing other things.
Big time, right?
You just have to do what you have to do. It's the same thing I do in my practice. Manage multiple cases, multiple clients with their needs, and everybody's needs are met.
Right, right. Yeah, he's bent on...
The water.
And
then when we get outside,
the water will be something
he's completely disinterested in.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's okay. We'll wrap up.
It's okay. I'm here.
Yeah, no, it's fine. We're almost done. Yeah. Jamie, tell people how they can find you.
Oh, I'm easy to find. If you go online, you just put in Jamie E. Wright Attorney. I'll go to my website. I'm also on Instagram and Twitter, Jamie Wright. ESQ 866-731-7505. I'm really easy to find.
There you go.
Yeah.
And so if you're in LA, you can be outside of LA too, right?
Yeah, you can be anywhere. And then if there's somebody out of state, I can refer you to a lawyer that's out of state that's in my network.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, you're an awesome guest.
Thank you.
You're full of a lot of information and stuff, here. Which is really cool.
Yeah, I have all kinds of knowledge.
Yeah, right. Do you intend on staying in law and stuff like that?
Yeah, for the time being, that's where I am at. Yeah.
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 Good for you.
Yeah.
Are you good? Do you think you want your kids to get into law too?
It's whatever he wants to do. If he wants to do law, if he wants to be an engineer. I mean, yeah. He's over here with this water and this gum mixing, so it might be in engineering or some kind of chemistry or science. But if he wants to be a lawyer, he can. Sometimes when he's with me, he'll say, "Hey, Mom, are you on court call? Or I think your client's calling you." So it's really funny to listen
really?
To him say those things to me at this knowledge. Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Well, he's still looking for other things to interest him. So, yeah. All right. Well, and he was Brian, right?
Brian, yeah.
Brian.
Yeah.
Okay, Brian, thank you for helping us with the show.
Thank you,
we
Brian.
Really appreciate that, helping Mommy and everything. And Jamie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Of course,
awesome.
Everybody check her out. All the best to you. And everybody, thank you for listening, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
Thank you.
Listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk.